You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, or Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Raina Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from MassLive.com, here with Sam Jam Packard the Great. We're going to rehash the Kyrie Irving, JJ Redick podcast that took the world by storm and tackled some pretty interesting topics, as you might imagine, knowing some of Kyrie's beliefs. Then we're going to talk about Jason Tatum coming back to practice after dealing with a little left knee issue and his new child, Jason Tatum Jr.
And then we'll wrap
it up.
Hashtag Tatum Tot.
We'll wrap it up with the Baines boat. The Baines boat. Who deserves to be on the Baines boat? I think the Tatum Tot might deserve to be on the Baines boat, but we'll
Tatum
see.
Tot, yeah, we'll see. That's for later in the show. But first, we got to talk about this Kyrie Irving podcast. Now, there's a lot of hoopla surrounding it. A great deal. It dropped, I think, right on Friday, so we didn't record a podcast about it. And I tried to ignore all the hoopla. I set out some time today just to listen to it, take some notes. Fascinating guy, man. That Kyrie Irving. My biggest takeaway from it is that he's just he's a basketball savant. Like, all he does is basketball and think basketball. And the way he was describing all of, like, his dribble moves and his, like, moves off the glass and just his general thinking, I was just generally impressed by how much, like, basketball – he is a basketball artist. Like, he self-described himself as that, and I bought in. I bought into the Church of Kyrie. I bought into the Church of Brad as well.
Well, I think you bought into the Church of Brad a long time ago. But the basketball artistry stuff is interesting because I do think that there are some people who think of basketball in that way. And Kyrie is one of them. Like, he loves the fact that he can just go out and do crazy dribble moves and react to the things people are doing and have total control over his handle. And he loves that. And I think I read something from Jamal Crawford I think it was this summer. It was one of the Lee Jenkins pieces. And he said, you know, a lot of people talk about, I think he brought up Kobe Bryant, and he was talking about the advanced statistics and stuff. And he said, never bothered me. And Jamal Crawford, obviously, has been a guy that advanced statistics have never really loved. But he said, I play for the memory. And that might not be a direct quote, but it was something like that. And it was like, that's perfect Jamal Crawford. And Kyrie Irving playing basketball for art is kind of perfect. Like, he might be the prettiest player, like, with all the skills that he does, like the finesse. He doesn't go about things in at all a violent way.
It's so effortless. It is artistic because it's so effortless.
So it kind of makes sense.
The thing that's crazy to me was, like, he, like, does all this work. It's just him talking about, like, adding different combos to every single move and just constantly doing that, especially with his ball handling, just so he can react, like, in the moment and, like, be able to do anything. I was just kind of impressed by how much kind of thought and effort has been put in just to the ball handling moves and then his mindset around it. I thought it was kind of fascinating. It went a long way to explain, like, how he can do the things he does so casually is because he does approach this as an art form. It was wild.
Yeah. I thought that was the best part of the conversation for me, was listening to how he developed his outrageous skill set, because he does have an outrageous skill set. He can do literally anything with a basketball. from shooting to passing. And I thought J.J. Redick put it well, like, you have three superpowers. And it was dribbling, passing, and – or not passing, dribbling, shooting. What was the other one?
Dribbling, shooting, and finishing, like, crazy finish around the rim.
Crazy finishes, yeah.
And that was crazy, too. He's talking about just, like, trying to master one move and then going up around the rim the wrong way. It's just a lot more – I guess I knew players did individual drills. But I just, like – it's just interesting to hear him talk about his approach to try and, like, master those things, because you can do a very, like, mechanical way in which I think he describes, like, doing, like the Steph Curry thing where you're, like, using VR and there's dots and – I feel like that's Kyrie's more organic, and that shouldn't surprise anyone because Kyrie apparently wants everyone to live on self-sustaining farms. But it was cool. I was just definitely like thought he was just a very interesting guy, and he's like a basketball savant. So he's just like he has no time to fact check. That was the other thing I got from his conspiracy theory talk is that Kyrie, he doesn't care about facts. He just listens to the information in front of him and just says, yeah, that makes sense, and then keeps moving on because all he needs to do is think about basketball and being an artist. So he's not a fact-check guy.
Definitely not a fact-check guy. So that conversation between Kyrie and JJ went in a lot of different directions. It went from the flat earth theory to a discussion about whether dinosaurs exist to at some point, Kyrie was talking about the third eye and...
Oh, the all-knowing eye. It sees everything.
Yeah. And then, I mean...
His chakras.
Yeah, they talked about a lot of different things. Was there anything that stood out to you from that conversation? Like, any of Kyrie's beliefs that surprised you?
I don't know. Nothing really.
I don't think anything
me.
Can just... surprise you at this point.
It just feels like he was like not a big fan of like the scientific method. Like he just wants things to be like he wants us to know something and then just move on. I don't think he's like really thinking that crazily about all these issues. He just is like watches a couple Instagram videos and goes, yeah, that makes sense. That's what I'm going to say. And then moves on because he's so busy focused on basketball. That was my biggest thing. It's like I don't think he's like really, really thought hard about the flat earth and stuff like that. I think he's just like, yeah, these things don't what you're saying to me doesn't make sense, so I'm just going to go along with that opinion.
Yeah, that was pretty funny that he said he found that on Instagram. His flat earth belief came from Instagram, and he admitted, he was like, yeah, when I said that in a media scrum or wherever he said it, he was like, I hadn't really checked anything. I just blurted it out. I wasn't even sure I really believed it, but maybe I did. So
And I'm like, if I had a media scrum in front of me every single day, I'd be saying so much nonsense. Like, I can imagine just blurting things out like it's probably mundane. I think that would be entertaining. And then it got away from him a bit.
How did he reveal his flat earth belief?
It was on a podcast with Channing Frye and who's the other old guy?
Richard Jefferson. Yeah, those two old guys. The Road Tripping Podcast.
The other thing podcast. I thought was interesting about the Kyrie JJ was that I'm actually talking about Brad Stevens and how he Kyrie kept on saying that like he demands excellence. He's like he's confident but so chill, but he demands excellence and keeps on talking about how like Brad Stevens demands excellence and you like want to play for him. And I just think it's like it's interesting to think about. I don't know. The other interesting part was they were talking about like why they play so well in moments, and they just talk about how they can take control of the basketball game, and they have that belief. And it feels like the players, at least, have really bought into this growth mindset type of approach that Brad Stevens is a champion of. And it just basically seems like Brad Stevens is just turning like every Celtics player into mental alphas, just guys who can think and believe and just dominate because they're like they have the belief in themselves, and I'm for it. That's why I said Church of Kyrie earlier. I'm really in the Church of Brad Stevens, and he's finally found himself an artist. But I don't know. I thought the way he described Brad was pretty fucking interesting.
Yeah, I thought so too, because I don't think people necessarily think of Brad Stevens as like this demanding guy, because when you see him, he's always laid back, he's always measured, he's always very. Like he doesn't ever raise his voice, it seems like. He's just very methodical. And so it makes sense that he demands a lot because he wants his teams to be very disciplined. And there are some things that he just doesn't put up with. And so Kyrie mentioning the demanding thing was really interesting. I thought it was interesting that J.J. Redick looks at the Celtics as like the Warriors, where no matter how much they get down, they just kind of play the same way. And Kyrie said, because it will work. And to me, that's Brad. Like, Brad.
That's instilling belief.
Brad has 19-year-old, 21-year-olds. He's got a couple of all-stars. He's got a whole bunch of rookies, whether it's Tice or Ojale, Tatum, like just a lot, a young team, a new team. And everyone's just kind of like, yeah, but if we do what Brad tells us to, we're going to be all right. Like, it doesn't matter if we're down 16, down 17. Doesn't matter if it's a close game at the end and we're playing a great team. If we do what Brad tells us to, it's going to work. And that's a huge thing. That's a huge deal to have the faith in your coach and to have the faith in your teammates, your system, all of that. And obviously J.J. Redick notices it. Obviously Kyrie feels it because the way he was talking about Brad and the way he was talking about the Celtics system, it's like he has the ultimate buy-in already and he's like 6 months in. Everyone just kind of trusts in Brad. And that's probably the greatest trait you can have as a coach, is that everyone just kind of will follow you to the death. And you have to earn that. You really have to earn that. You have to do it by being prepared. You have to do it by being smart. You have to do it by routinely putting your players in great positions. And once you do that, they'll follow you. And obviously the Celtics have that. And obviously Kyrie very quickly bought into that. And it's interesting too that he said that so closely after the Jackie McMullen piece came out. And there was that anecdote from Kyrie Irving where Ty Lue was telling him, you got to push the ball. And Kyrie was kind of like, why? Like, I can get a bucket at any point. And Ty Lue said, you got to push the ball for other guys so we can get guys like Richard Jefferson shots. And Kyrie said, that's number 23's job. And so obviously he didn't have the same trust in Ty Lue all the time. And maybe he's had moments like that with Brad Stevens. Maybe I'm overreacting to, you know, one moment with Ty Lue and one quote about Brad Stevens. But it is interesting the contrast there between Kyrie really, really lashing out at Ty Lue for something that he asked him to do, and then going on to say, like, I just trusted Brad. We believe in Brad. We believe that what we will do will put us in position to win. And I just thought that was really interesting.
Is Brad, like, quietly the most confident man in the world? Because it feels like he also believes in all, like, he trusts in his players to do well. And they kind of, the first thing Kyrie said when asked about Brad was, like, confidence but chill. And it would make sense, like, for to get confident these people to, like, chill. Buy in and confidence and chill that Brad Stevens date. It makes sense, like, he has to have this, like, belief that his team can, like, that he can basically manipulate his players into playing this way, and that, like, if everyone is, like, working collectively, in order to do that, Byron, I have that buy-in, like, Brad has to believe in himself. So I think he's sneakily the cockiest man on the face of the earth.
I mean, let's pump the brakes. I don't think anyone would ever call Brad Stevens cocky. I think...
Okay, maybe that was a horrible choice of words, but I was trying to say a word other than confident. He's definitely confident.
Yeah, he's definitely very confident. I mean, when you, it's like, this is going to be the dumbest thing I've ever said on the podcast, but I'm going to go with it because I already put that out there. It's like when you go into a presentation in school, if you just wing it, when I used to wing it, I would be sitting there, like, my palms would be sweaty as hell. Like, I always winged it. I was a winger in school. I was never prepared.
I'm definitely on team wing it.
But then later in life, like, when I talk about the Celtics, because I put in enough work to know what the team's doing, because I have pretty good knowledge of the team, it's because it's something I care about, I don't get those sweaty palms anymore. It's like, I know it. I know mostly everything that's going on with the Celtics, so I can just talk about it. And Brad knows a whole shit ton more than I know about the Celtics and basketball. And so I think it's pretty natural that he's a pretty confident guy with all the work that he puts in and all the preparation. So, yeah, Brad.
I'm just curious, though, like, what is his cockiest moment is. Like, does he ever talk shit to other coaches or, like, does he fist pump?
I told you, bitches, like, that was going to work.
nice play call, dumbass.
like he screams over at Randy Whitman after Jay Crowder gets open for the game winning layup. He's like, suck on that one, Randy. I need cocky Brad.
Hopefully that will happen soon.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the next stage.
So the next evolution is him swearing at other coaches, because I just think that's the natural progression.
Hey, listen, if you're that confident, one day he's going to let out that inner confidence and he's just going to cuss out coaches and really, really make his confidence known. I have full confidence in that. No, I do not. That will never happen, but I wish. I can wish. All right. Other things happening at practice. Jason Tatum returned to practice. He was healthy. All his tests came back negative, which was positive for the Celtics. He plans to play Tuesday night against the New Orleans Pelicans. So, very good. All good on that front. Jason Tatum is good. Celtics fans can exhale. They can breathe that sigh of relief. They can be happy. Jason Tatum's also a father. He revealed on Instagram this weekend that he had a child, Jason Christopher Tatum Jr. And Jason Tatum, man, he's a father. Juggling a lot right now. Juggling a lot.
He needs to flex on him and do Tatum Sr. on his jersey.
Ooh. I wouldn't hate it. Would you call him Tatum One Stick?
Like hotcakes. No, you have to have a grandchild to get to Tatum Three Sticks. Tatum Two Sticks doesn't even make any sense. Tatum Todd is definitely the best name, though.
Yeah, shout out to Danger Cart. I believe he mentioned Tatum Todd, which is well done. Very well done. In a land of bad puns, that was a good pun. So shout out to Tatum Tot. Jason Tatum, he's juggling a lot right now. His kid was born December 6th. So for the past month, he's been a 19-year-old NBA rookie starter on the best team of the Eastern Conference while being a first-time father of a newborn. When I was 19, I was just happy if I didn't puke on a Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah. I think for bringing life into this world, Jason Tatum gets the first spot on Aaron Baines' big Australian boat.
Okay.
Also, recording 6 blocks against the Nets last weekend, which seems like forever ago.
Do newborn children get free admission on the Baines boat? So we can have both Christopher? Both Jason Christopher Tatum?
They can be carried on board, but I don't think they get their own ticket. I don't know. I feel like that kid has to earn it.
Yeah, no. Are you on Tatum's lap? Will sit Tatum Jr. We'll allow that on the Baines boat.
Okay. So who's the next pick?
Next pick is Jaylen Brown. Got to be Jaylen Brown because we're looking at a one. It was a one game week.
I think we can go back a little bit farther because I don't think we did one after the Brooklyn Timberwolves games.
Okay. I'm still going with Jaylen Brown here. I think he won that 76ers game. He was the reason that the Celtics overcame the early deficit. He was the reason they got their spirit back. So Jaylen Brown, shout out to him. And the Celtics have just done a really great job on opposing really good players lately. Whether it's Jimmy Butler, Andrew Wiggins, you look back, James Harden. And Jaylen Brown has had a part in that. So Jaylen Brown on the Baines big boat. Shout out.
My next pick is going to be Semi Ojeleye.
Ooh, a little Ojeleye.
Because he came in the final 7 minutes of the Nets game and just played outstanding defense after not having played the entire game. I think this is the second time I brought it up, but it was damn impressive. I thought he was just basically won the game for them at the end just with nice verticality plays. And also that dude has a 12-pack. He's the most ripped, shredded person I've ever seen.
Yeah, Semi Ojeleye is not an out of shape guy.
He's a diesel individual.
Not an out of shape guy. Very, very thick, jacked frame. but yeah, who else? Does anyone else deserve it? I'm trying to think.
Kyrie and Al are generally they have tables at the boat.
They do.
I don't know if they're showing up this week.
They have tables at the boat. They deserve to be on the boat. I think like they've done enough to be on the boat, but we expect them to do that much. So I don't know. I don't think they're going on my boat.
No, I don't think anyone else deserves it, but mostly just because no one's really played any. We haven't played that many games. So if you don't give any product, well, we can't really judge you. You're not just going to get on the boat for reputation alone. You have to give us something.
Yeah, you got to give us something. And the Sixers game, it was pretty gross. It wasn't like the
Celtics have played some real ugly basketball lately.
Yeah, I mean, over the last seven games, their defense is like by far the best in the NBA. It's like 8 points.
Do they have a defensive coordinator? Is one of the coaches a defensive specialist?
I think Micah Shrewsbury handles a lot of that now.
Then he gets on the boat because their defense has been absolutely amazing, and it's caused us to watch some real shitty basketball games.
Really, really shitty basketball games. So, yeah.
Shouts to Micah Shrewsbury.
I think that's what he does. don't quote me on that. Don't quote me on that. I think you already quoted me on that, but don't quote me on that.
I just did. The whole podcast world did.
Yeah, the whole podcast world. Anyway, you got anything else?
That's all from me, man.
Should we put Kyrie on just for giving us a wild, wild podcast appearance for JJ Redick?
I would say put Kyrie on. I'll put JJ Redick on just for being a pretty good podcast host. I'm always like pleasantly surprised by him. So one-time visit, daily pass. But yeah, Kyrie can go on because it's always fun to just hear him say wild shit.
Yeah, yeah.
He had me believing. I'm started a plant-based diet. You know what? Why not?
Have you really?
Church of Brad told me to. Church of Brad and Kyrie.
I don't think Church of Brad would recommend a plant-based diet, to be honest.
I'll have to ask him during pregame scrum.
I would suspect Brad would be someone who wants a very balanced diet. And he probably knows exactly what to eat. I would guess he has it down to a science. But he also does eat a cookie before every game.
He does, but you know what? That's what he needs to keep creating mental alphas like he does with every Celtics player.
We are also mental alphas. The reigning, the Locked On Celtics podcast with the reigning Jays. If you want to subscribe to us, if you don't subscribe to us already, you're stupid. But if you do want to subscribe to us,
suspect kid,
search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever else. We're there Monday through Friday, giving you that good, and we're the best Celtics podcast, the only daily Celtics podcast, and we won't disappoint you. Well, we probably will disappoint you sometimes, but we won't always disappoint you. We will mostly live up to whatever expectations you have for us, which may be low, but
most of the time we're gonna try, and generally you'll be happy.
Yes, there you go, and I think that's a good place to end. That's it for this episode of the Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, J. King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.